their drooping hands snatching from my head and their lifeless eyes burning into my soul. I fought them, but there were simply too many. Their cold touch grabbing, tearing, gouging. "You're one of them! You're one of them! You're one of them!" I felt one of the dead boys press something against my mouth, the sting of a needle in my flesh. I screamed, but all that came out was a dry wheeze, and when I tried to catch my breath to cry out again, I felt poison flood my lungs. The room began to spin, the cadavers spiraling outward like some macabre Catherine wheel. In a second, all that remained was their howls, an endless funeral dirge as I tried to rip the gas mask from my face. I shot up in my cell, the dream fading as the darkness around me once again began to seep into my mind, erasing all that had been there, except for the screams. It was so faint it could have been an echo of my nightmare, but I knew immediately it wasn't. The noise was loud enough to penetrate my cell, dripping down on me like ice water. I felt my skin tighten into goose flesh, held my breath, the better to hear it when it came again. Louder this time, and closer. This wasn't the same scream I had heard in my dream, although it had obviously inspired it. This sound definitely wasn't human, but a frenzied cry devoid of anything but hatred and cruelty. And whatever it was coming this way. I thought about what the warden had said, about the rats, those creatures from the cavern, coming to get us. But it was fine. I was locked up here, safe from whatever it was, right? Except the lock was on the outside. When the scream came again, it could have been from right above me. It still sounded like it was miles away, but I knew it was just a thin barrier of rock giving the illusion of distance. Something hit my hatch hard, and my entire body flinched. Another thump, then the sound of claws against metal. I curled into the smallest ball I could, praying for the noise to stop, praying so hard I thought my clenched fingers would break. There was a muted shot, little louder than bubble wrap popping, then a thump as something fell onto the hatch. A second shot followed, then what might have been feet, and a third shot, which I could hear pinging off the metal. I strained my ears to hear more, but whatever had been happening now seemed to be over. I didn't move, kept my arms and legs bound tight and my head pressed into the warmth of my chest. With nightmares waiting for me when I slept and death here when I woke up, it was all I could do. Communication. I don't remember falling asleep, but I must have, because I was woken by another noise. I sat up, thinking for a split second that I'd gone blind before remembering where I was. There was an unpleasant feeling in my gut, like someone had twisted my stomach around, then pinched it in place with a bulldog clip. It was probably hunger. I had no idea how long I'd been here, but it must have been more than a day. The noise didn't repeat itself, but I could have sworn it had come from the direction of the toilet. I shuffled my body around, too used to the pain to really bother with it, and lowered my head to the opening. Nothing. Maybe I had dreamed it. Given what had been going through my head last night, or morning, or afternoon, whatever it had been, another weird noise didn't seem unlikely. I realized I needed the hole for something else, and did my best to squat over it in the darkness. I never thought I'd miss the stained hunk of metal that had been our toilet back in the cell up top, but right now, as I tried and failed to hit the target, I would have traded my eye teeth for it. As I crouched there, wondering what to do about toilet paper, a muffled clank rose up from beneath me. I turned and put my head as close to the floor as I could bear, holding my breath to better hear if the noise came again, as well as for more obvious reasons. It did. Another sound like metal on metal. Without warning, something in my heart lifted. I scrabbled around the tiny floor and found the grill, smashing it as hard as I could against the wall. The noise it made was loud, but it didn't sound like the one I'd just heard. I poked a finger down the hole where the grill had been set and felt a pipe with a ring of iron or steel around its lip. There was another clank, and this time I answered, lifting the grill above my head and smashing it down against the ring of metal. It hit with the sound of a muffled church bell, and I dropped it, putting my hands to my ears to try to stop them ringing. Behind the whine of my eardrums, the noise came again, followed by a pause long enough for me to know what to do. I snatched up the grill and struck, softer this time, just once. A few seconds later, the sound from the pipe came twice, and I echoed it. Then three times, followed by three strikes, which I belted out with choked sobs of relief. "See," I said, more to myself than from any hope he'd hear me. "You genius." He'd obviously managed to pry his grill off too, and had thought to smash it against the iron in the toilet. The sound was travelling down, then up again, making it seem like it was coming from right beneath me. I yelled in celebration, and this time rapped out the five notes of "Shave and a Haircut," even before the echo had died down in the pipe. Z's two bits burst through it with glorious clarity. I collapsed back against the wall, giggling helplessly. It seems like a stupid thing to be so happy about, but those tiny taps broke all hold that solitary had over us. They punched through its one power, its only strength, its ability to keep us isolated, locked away from the world. It wasn't much, and we wouldn't be using it to discuss the next World Cup or who our favourite Hollywood babe was, but it was enough. I wasn't alone anymore. This time, so overwhelmed by enthusiasm, I raised the grill to my mouth and kissed it. Keep your mind busy.
Keep yourself occupied. Find things to do. If you're doing things, then you still exist, right?
Right, I said, remembering Donovan's words. Well, remembering the words spoken by the piece of my subconscious that was masquerading as the memory of Donovan to stop me crumbling into depression. It's weird how complicated things can get when you're on the edge of madness. I'd been keeping my mind busy for what seemed like forever. Z too, as we tried to work out a system of communication, he'd started by tapping out short clacks then longer ones, and I guessed he was doing Morse code. I'd never gone to scouts or anything like that, so all I could do was repeatedly bang my grill against the pipe in frustration until he got the hint. It would have been easier if we had a one hit for yes, two for no system, but we had no way of asking questions, so it was impossible. We spent quite a bit of time just tapping meaningless staccato tunes, not really caring that we weren't forming words, just happy to hear each other. At least I was just tapping out nonsense. For all I know, Z was coming up with a master code that I just wasn't grasping. There was a moment, sometime after we'd discovered each other, where he did seem to be creating a system of taps. I listened carefully, trying to work out the code. There were five clear taps, followed by five more, then a pause. Next, there was one tap, followed by five, another pause, then one and five again. I tried to work out what it might mean, but it was probably something he'd seen on one of his damn documentaries, and I didn't have a clue. After racking my brains for a while, the only thing I could think of was that he was using numbers to stand in for letters, but that only spelt E-E-A-E-A-E, and unless he was being tortured and letting me know he was screaming, it didn't seem to mean anything. My own confusion gave me an idea. Waiting until Z had fallen silent, I smashed my grill against the pipe eight times, one for each letter up to H. I paused, then brought it down five times, E. Twice I smashed out 12 dull, battered notes, L, L. My fingers aching, I finished off with 15 clear, steady hits, O. Silence. I chewed my nails in anticipation, spitting violently when I realised what I was doing. There was no time to think about it, though, as Z's response drilled up the pipe with all the subtlety of a homicidal robot on the loose. 8. H. 9. I. 1. A. 12. L. 5. E. I didn't need to wait for the 24 notes of X to chime like clockwork from the pipe to know he'd got it. I let the grill drop for a moment, flexed my weary fingers. Then from nowhere, I began to cry. They weren't bad tears, I guess. They weren't happy ones either. I couldn't tell you what they were. It's like when you're listening to the radio and all of a sudden a song comes on that really jerks your heartstrings. And it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, but you can just feel the emotion welling up inside you like a tide. There's no stopping it. Here in Furnace, there was no music, so this was our song. And it was more beautiful than anything I'd ever heard. As Z hammered out another tuneless verse, I let my body heave, warm drops of salt water dripping past my lips onto the rock. When the sobs had subsided, I wiped my eyes, even though there was nothing to see, and decoded Z's message. 7. G. 15. O. 15 again. O. 4. D. A longer pause. 20. T. 15. O. Another pause. 8. 5. 1. 18. Pause. Then 21. Hear you. Good to hear you. I wanted to send back, "You're not kidding," but it would have taken forever, so I settled with 21 short notes like we'd been using. Then two longer ones. You too. I hoped he'd get it. "You okay?" came his eventual reply. I nodded, even though he couldn't see me, then answered with a series of strikes. GR8. Sound couldn't penetrate the walls, but it seemed sarcasm could. ME2. We went on like that without daring to stop. In a way, it was just like texting using a really ancient phone, and we quickly picked up on each other's shortcuts and abbreviations. It wasn't the easiest form of communication in the world, the simplest sentence taking minutes to hammer out, but that was perfect. It kept our minds occupied far longer than a spoken conversation would. Each tap was like the seconds ticking by on a clock, and it forced time back into the room, brought us back to reality. We could hear the minutes passing, our conversations literally devouring the hours. I replayed Z's messages in his own voice, although surprisingly, I couldn't remember exactly what it sounded like. I knew his accent, though, and after we'd been talking for a while, it was like he was right there next to me speaking in my ear. "Been to the toilet yet?" he asked, his taps becoming words. "Yeah, but I took the grill off first." "Look at you, I've still got my own crap on my fingers." I laughed, picturing Z's face on our first morning in Furnace, when he'd been on stink duty cleaning the toilets. I could see that same gurning expression now. "Nice," I clanked. There was a pause while we both gave our tired hands a rest. Then Z started up again. "Hear that thing last night?" I didn't reply immediately. I couldn't bear to think about it, especially after finding some scrap of goodness in the hole. The memory of that creature, whatever it had been, clawing and scratching at the entrance to my cell was enough to bring the walls crashing back in, enough to make me feel all alone again. To scare the fear away, I banged out a response that I hoped would end the topic of conversation. "Just noise." "Sounded like the thing back in the cavern," he pressed. He was right, and there was no doubt in my mind it had been one of the creatures, the rats. When I didn't answer, he went on. "Think it'll come back?" "Heard shots. Must be dead," I said hopefully. "Maybe. Thought I heard it run off." I pictured the freak running into the shadows, returning later on tonight, and decided to change the subject. "How long you think we've been here?" A pause, then the beat of his response. Dunno. A day? Only 29 left to go, I replied, snorting to myself. Like being on vacation. I laughed again, but Z's question about the rat had dredged up memories that showed no sign of departing. I picked up my grill and smashed out another sentence. Any way to lock your hatch from the inside? There was no response. I figured he was probably investigating his cell door before answering. Maybe he hadn't already done it. I counted the seconds. Then the minutes. You okay? I asked. Still nothing. Something had happened. I was about to drum out another frantic message when I heard the bar on top of my hatch swivel around. The shock was so great that my stomach lurched as if on a roller coaster, and I dropped the grill, the sound lost beneath the squeal of hinges as the trapdoor opened. Light flooded the cell like liquid fire, burning my eyes so fiercely that I doubled over and pressed my face into my hands. But not before I'd seen the hulking shape silhouetted against the inferno, two silver eyes glaring down at me like twin spotlights. It was a black suit. They'd heard us communicating. They were here to separate us even further, to take away the grills, or maybe just to punish us, to drag us off to the infirmary.
Bang all you like. You're not getting out.
I eased my head from my arms, squinting against the glow. My heart was hammering hard enough to be heard through the wall, but I forced myself to look up, the blurred shadow of the man hanging over me like a storm cloud. What? I asked.
Don't let me stop you, though,
he boomed, half words, half laughter.
The more you wear yourselves out, the worse it will get.
He moved, his hand flashing into my cell like lightning. I ducked, feeling something crash down on top of me, all sharp edges. Hot liquid was running down my face, and I thought it was blood, but then it dripped into my mouth, and I recognized the unmistakable texture of slop. The almost inedible puree of skin, bones, guts, and offal that passed for food in this place. I get to eat? I asked, genuinely surprised. I don't quite know how I thought we were going to survive for a month without rations of some kind, but the last thing I'd expected was to be fed.
Enjoy,
said the suit as he closed the hatch, laughing again at the comical expression I must have been wearing.
You're not getting any more for another 2 days.
Visitors. I didn't know which was better, the fact that I had something to eat or the fact that we'd already been in here for 2 days. Luckily, the bowl of slop had landed right side up and with most of its contents still in place, a miracle in this place where Murphy's Law seemed to be an official prison rule. I ate slowly, knowing that if I guzzled down the lot in one go after not eating for so long, I'd probably throw it straight back up. It wasn't much, the sawdust-flavoured gunk even lumpier than I'd gotten used to in the trough room, but it chiseled away at the dull ache in my gut and left me feeling full. I finished the last morsel of salty goo, then licked the bowl, my stomach gurgling with satisfaction. Picking up the grill, I clanked out a message to Z. I wasn't really sure what to say, so opened up with some small talk. Yum. Best meal ever, came his reply a minute or so later. Didn't think they were gonna feed us. Guess they want to keep us alive, make us suffer, he said, a sentence that seemed to take an eternity. Thought they had us then. Me too. We were lucky. There was a moment of silence. I could picture Z licking his bowl with the same relish I had. Suit said it's been 2 days, I went on. Believe it? Impossible to say. Feels like forever. The guard might have been messing with our heads, but surely if he'd been doing that, he'd have told us we'd been there for a few hours rather than a couple of days. No, he'd let it slip without meaning to, trying to torture us by saying we weren't going to be fed for another 2 days without realizing he'd given us hope. Hell, if 2 days could fly by like that, filled with slow but wonderful conversation, then a month would be no trouble. "Can you think of any games?" I asked after another period of stillness. "I spy," he replied, making me choke with laughter. "Something beginning with D."
"Donkeys?" I beat back.
"No."
"Dog crap?"
"Probably."
"Dickweeds?"
"Nah, they've gone."
More laughter. My arms were killing me where I'd been smashing the grill against the pipe, but I was having too much fun to stop. I found myself thinking back to all the car rides we'd taken as a family when I was a kid, all the times my dad had suggested playing I Spy, and I'd been too cool to go along with it.
"It's the best game ever," he'd say, always trying too hard.
Right now I agreed with him.
"Donovan?"
I suggested eventually, struggling to remember the words that began with D. My memories of the outside world had been fading ever since I'd arrived in Furness, starved of reference to the things I once took for granted. Sure, I still knew what ducks and daffodils and dragonflies were, but it took me a while to dredge up the images and sounds and smells and thoughts that went with the words. And sometimes I just couldn't manage it. I'd lost the memory completely. I'd never get it back. Z hadn't replied, and I wondered if he was thinking about Donovan. The very mention of his name had sparked the hallucinations again. Patches of white vapor no more substantial than sea mist swirled in front of my sense-starved eyes, coalescing into a vague shape before spinning out and unraveling again. Instead of fighting it, blotting it away like I had done that first hour in the hole, I let it come.
"Keep him busy, I see,"
said the image of Donovan, his skin glowing white and red and even green in places.
"Staying sane, yeah?" I replied. "Well, apart from the fact I'm talking to a figment of my imagination again."
"Don't call Z that,"
he joked.
"I meant you, you idiot."
The sound of Z's grill burst through the illusion, causing Donovan's body to explode into specks like a flock of birds startled by gunshot. The hallucination bobbed around the cell before forming on the other side of me, my old cellmate now tiny like he was sitting some distance away.
"Where do you think D is?" Z asked.
"Right here," I thought about replying, my own words coming out of Donovan's mouth. But only the memory of him existed in my cell right now, and I was pretty sure I knew where the real version was.
"Infirmary,"
I chipped out, my ears ringing from the echoes.
"Gee, thanks,"
yelled the hallucination, wearing a frown but grinning beneath it.
"You could have sat on a beach somewhere, eating a burger. Why have you got to imagine me in that place, you sh—"
Once more Z's response chased the image away. I shook my head, attempting to clear my thoughts. It was difficult enough trying to hold two conversations at once in any situation, never mind one with a hallucination and the other with a guy on the far side of a solid stone wall using a toilet grill and an alphabetic code.
"I hope not," was all his hammer blows said.
This time, when Donovan reformed, he was right next to me.
"Donuts,"
he said. I looked at him, through him really, as his skin was almost translucent, and shrugged. He couldn't have seen it, but he was in my head, so he knew what I meant.
"Guess donuts, you know, for I Spy."
"That's stupid," I grumbled, but tapped out the word anyway.
"I wish," came the chiming pulse of Z's reply.
"Diana Wilkes," suggested Donovan. "I always wanted to ask her out, but never had the guts."
"I don't think so," I said, having a flashback to school and to the girl who sat 3 seats in front of me in math, Diana Wilkes. I'd had such a crush on her, had even written her a couple of notes on postcards, but I'd never given them to her, never said anything, never would. I wondered who was sitting in my seat now, idling away the lesson by staring at the back of her neck and wondering what it smelled like. I turned back to Donovan and pretended to punch him in the arm, my hand passing right through like he was a reflection on water. That's my life you're remembering. Get your own.
Pretty tough when you're made of someone else's imagination, he said. Speaking of which, I definitely had bigger arms than these.
He flexed them, and the hallucination seemed to grow to ridiculous proportions. He nodded approvingly at his biceps, which now looked like rugby balls beneath his glowing shirt. Happy?
Much better.
There was an impatient hammering from the pipe, the clangs adding up to spell, give up?
Never, I replied.
Dinosaurs?
No.
Drive-in movie theatre? An answer that seemed to take about an hour and left me with a blister at the base of my thumb.
No.
It's darkness, said Donovan in my head. The answer is darkness. He can't see anything in there.
Duh, I said, turning to scowl at him. I know that. I was dragging the game out, having a bit of fun. Way to kill the buzz.
Sorry,
the apparition muttered. Then he looked up at me, eyes shining like pearls in the ocean.
Dogs?
What's the point? I answered, putting on a mock pout. You've already ruined the game.
No, listen, he said. Dogs.
A growl like jet engines above my head, then the unmistakable bark of one of the warden's mutts. Donovan vanished, and I shot to my feet, standing on tiptoes and cocking my ear as close to the hatch as possible. Z had obviously heard it too, as there wasn't the slightest sound from the toilet pipe. I didn't hear the dog again, but I could make out the sound of feet on the rock above. It was only a whisper, but they must have been moving fast and hard to have produced any sound in here at all. I held my breath, becoming absolutely silent except for the stammer of my pulse. There was a voice, too deep to make any sense of, but obviously urgent. It sounded like an order being given. The footsteps faded, then broke off completely as a muted shot rang out. It was the same thing I'd heard the other night, but softer this time, which meant further away. Two more followed, so close they were almost a single sound. There was a scream, as faint as a fingernail scraping glass. Then that too died away. I had the grill poised above the pipe to make sure Z was okay when the screech came again. This time, it was right above my hatch. The lever grated as it was pushed around, the sound of nails or claws on the metal making my scalp shrink. I dropped the grill, reaching up and trying to find something, anything to grip. There was a slight lip around the circumference of the hatch, barely enough for me to hook my fingers into. I grabbed it as best I could, practically hanging from it to stop it opening. The pressure in the cell changed as the seal was broken, my ears popping so hard I was deaf. I swallowed to clear them, but instantly wished I hadn't as the creature outside the hole screamed again. It was a noise of pure rage, so demonic that every muscle in my body lost its strength. It was all I could do to hang on as I felt the hatch shift, something tugging on it from the other side. It lifted, enough to let in a crack of blood-coloured light. I screwed my eyes shut, wrenched the hatch back down. One of my hands slipped off, but the other held firm, the steel slamming closed with a jolt that could have torn my spine out. Another shriek, the scrabbling of frenzied claws on metal. Again the hatch was forced upward, this time far enough for me to catch a glimpse of whatever was outside. Flesh the same colour as the walls, limbs too swollen to be human, but whatever it was had feet, broken and misshapen, yes, but other than that no different from mine.
Leave me alone!
I howled, the words distorted by my sobs. It only seemed to make the creature more furious, and the hatch was torn up a little further. This time, a hooked hand slipped through, the nails sharpened into claws gripping the edge. It pried the door open a fraction more.
Another few centimetres and it would be able to flip it all the way over, leaving me exposed. I dug my fingers in so hard I felt a nail snap. Ignoring the pain, I jerked my body down again and again, and by some miracle, each time I did it, the sliver of light breaking through the gap got smaller and smaller. The thing unleashed a gargled roar of defiance, but its strength seemed to be fading. With a crunch, the hatch slammed shut, trapping its fingers. Another cry, this one filled with pain rather than anger, and all too human for it. The creature was cut off mid-scream. One second, it was thrashing to try to free its hand. The next, there was a dull snap, and it fell silent. I pushed its fingers through the gap, desperate to close the hatch before anything else tried to find a way in. They slid out with a sickening sound of grating bones, and I was plunged into the welcoming darkness. I couldn't lock the hatch from inside. I was just grateful it was shut. But my gratitude didn't last long. Before I could suck in a breath, the hatch burst open, and I didn't even have enough air to scream with as a pair of bloody hands ripped me from my cell.
Snatched. The creature's paws were like machines, clamping my arms to my sides and hoisting me out of the hole as though I weighed nothing. I thrashed with my legs, but the thing was behind me, and my pathetic kicks didn't even seem to register. Whatever was holding me paused to knock my hatch closed, using a huge leg to swing the lever back into place. The other creature, the one that had been trying to get to me first, was hunched over and lifeless on the floor, its skinless, glistening body facing down. Its head had been twisted around at an impossible angle, its dead eyes open and fading, its toothless maw gaping like an empty shopping bag, as if it was howling silently at the ceiling. I screamed for help, throwing myself against my captor and trying to wrench myself free from its grip. From nearby, there was a bang, so much louder out in the open than it had been in the hole. It was a shotgun. I recognized the sound from the prison. Three more shots followed in close succession, a booming cry from a black suit. I wanted to see one of them run around the corner, appear from the dark tunnels behind us, anything. They might have been scary, but they were nothing compared to the writhing monster of knotted muscle and fist that breathed its blood breath on my neck. It started to run, each giant pounding leap carrying me away from the passageway I'd arrived through. The hatches in the floor flashed past, too many to count. I called Z's name, knowing he wouldn't be able to hear me. Then the creature turned a corner and Solitary was behind us. We were in another stretch of corridor, narrower this time, and I managed to bring up my leg and kick out at the stone. I made contact, thrusting hard and sending us both off balance. The creature hit the opposite wall, the impact ripping its hand from my arm. I saw my chance, swinging my head back with every ounce of strength I possessed. Stars exploded in my vision, first light, then pain. But it had been worth it. Something behind me crunched, followed by a howl of agony. The other arm loosened, and I tore myself free, staggering on the rock before finding my feet. The corridor was shorter than the one we'd just left, lightless openings on either side. It bent around again at the end, and I could make out huge shadows bobbing up and down. They had to be cast by guards. They'd probably shoot me as soon as they saw me, but that was better than whatever the creature behind me had in store. I opened my mouth, ready to call out, but before I could, a hand wrapped itself around my face. I felt fingers in my mouth, encrusted with dirt, and bit down on them. Another hand swung around my waist, and I was lifted again, like a toddler scooped up by a parent. I saw the shadows growing larger, the black suits almost on us. But then the tunnel lurched as I was dragged into one of the openings along the wall, and darkness swallowed me. I knew what was happening. The creature was taking me to a quiet corner where it could eat me slowly, finger by finger, limb by limb. I lashed out again, hoping to flick a foot out of the doorway. One last chance to draw the attention of the guards. It was too strong, and in one leap we were halfway across a pitch-black room, the door nothing but a block of dull crimson light in the distance. Another leap, and it had almost completely disappeared. The creature pinned me to the ground, its hand still clamped against my lips. I could hear the march of booted feet outside and made one last attempt to scream.
"Quiet," came a voice. Its voice, like a death rattle.
My muffled wail died out, more from shock than anything. Had it really spoken? Being devoured by a monster, a creature with little resemblance to humankind, that was one thing. But there was something far, far worse about being carved up by a beast that could speak.
"Quiet," came the voice again, softer.
It was familiar. The footsteps had all but died away, and I felt the weight on me lift. The hand on my mouth was as firm as ever.
"I need to know you're not going to call out,"
the harsh whisper continued.
"I need you to trust me."
I lay there for a moment, trembling too much to reply. But what choice did I have? I nodded my head hard enough for it to feel the movement.
"I'm not going to hurt you,"
it went on, gently removing its hand. I tasted blood, although I couldn't tell if it came from my lips or its fingers where I had bitten them. Gasping for breath, I thought about screaming. Even if I'd wanted to, I doubt I'd have had the strength.
"I'm sorry,"
said the voice again, the sound of joints clicking as it shifted position.
"There was no other way. I only had seconds to get you out."
"You could have just asked,"
I replied hoarsely, sitting up. I felt a hard surface behind me, metal shelves, and shuffled until I was leaning against them. The creature was invisible in the gloom, and I was still terrified of it, but I had thought I'd have claws beneath my skin by now, teeth in my neck, so I couldn't complain.
"You wouldn't have come," it said. "By the time I'd convinced you, it would have been too late."
And then it struck me, where I'd heard the voice before. I suddenly realized how hot its hands had felt on my face. "You're the thing that saved me, right? Back in the cabin?" A grunt that could have been yes. I could hear something else, a gross squishing sound that reminded me of raw meat sliding into the food grinders in the prison kitchen. "You okay?" I asked.
"I think you broke my nose,"
it replied, its voice laced with pain.
"But it's healing. Just give me a minute."
I'd never known a broken nose that could heal in a minute, but I kept quiet until the noise stopped and the creature spoke again.
"You're Alex Sawyer,"
it said, and I was about to answer before I realized it wasn't a question.
"You broke free."
I nodded, forgetting that it couldn't see me. To my surprise, however, its silver eyes seemed to focus on the movement.
"I thought so. We heard the explosion from down here. Didn't know what had happened at first, but when we saw you in the river, we couldn't believe it."
"We?" I asked. Before it could respond, there was another screech from the corridor outside. More gunfire. Something flew past the distant door, a shadow too swift to make out. I squinted, wondering why it seemed to have been running along the wall, tearing chunks from it as it passed.
"There's no time," the creature hissed. "You've got to get back."
"Back?"
"To the hole."
I started shaking my head, but it rested its hot fingers on my arm, snatching them away a second later as if fearing they might burn me.
"Just listen to me. I needed you to know that we're down here, that you're not on your own."
More footsteps drumming out a panicked rhythm as two black suits sprinted past the door, little more than a blur. "What's going on out there?" I asked when the noise had faded. "Are you one of those things? Those creatures?"
"Yes and no," came its answer. "I'll explain later. All you need to know is that there's a war going on down here, and we're on the losing side.
We need you, Alex. If you can get out of general population, then you can get us out of here.
My head was spinning, the sensation amplified by the darkness. My thoughts were like planets careening out of orbit, crashing together and exploding into meaningless dust. I saw one clearly, snatched at it before it vanished along with the others. Donovan? Carl Donovan? Is he down here?
I don't know,
it said, but I could sense the hesitation in its answer.
There are some kids in the infirmary, including the guy you escaped with.
Not him, I interrupted. Another guy, about the same age, dark skin, big.
There might be.
The creature's silver eyes blinked uneasily.
I don't know. I can't tell, they're all...
What? They're all what?
Just forget about them, okay? Forget about him. It's too late, but not for us.
It had been quiet outside since the black suits had run past, and the creature stood. I felt its fingers searing through my overalls again as it pulled me to my feet, leading me back toward the door. I wanted to ask it more about Donovan, ask it to take me to him. I wanted my old cellmate to know that I was here, that I hadn't abandoned him. But the creature was the first to speak.
The guards should be occupied by the north door,
it said, mumbling to itself as we walked slowly toward the corridor. With more time to look around, I could see that we were in some kind of storeroom, the light from the passageway outside too weak to identify what was in the countless boxes and jars lining the shelves.
That's where the breach took place, where the rats got in. We should be clear back to the hole.
We reached the door, and I turned around, ready to plead not to be taken back to solitary, but it grabbed my shoulders and held me tight, kept me facing forward.
Don't look at me,
it said, and I could sense a boundless sadness in its voice, the choked whimper of shame.
Please, don't look at me.
It held me still for a moment, during which a far-off shot whispered down the corridor. Then it pushed me forward, telling me to run. I didn't argue, sprinting back the way we'd come. The passageway containing solitary was clear, and we made our way down it faster than I thought was possible, the creature's hands pressing at my back and betraying the sheer power of its body. Keeping one hand on me to make sure I didn't turn, it swung the lever around and wrenched open the hatch.
I'll be back, it whispered. The next time there's a breach, the next time the black suits are distracted, I'll be back. Hurry, get in.
I sat, gripping the edge of the hole and angling my feet in. Just tell me your name, I said.
My name?
The creature replied as I dropped, as if unsure what the question meant. I hit the floor, immediately turning my head. The hatch was already closing, but through the shrinking gap, I could make out the top half of a monstrous body, one arm as thick and bulbous as a tree trunk, the other wasted away to skin and bone. It raised its scrawny arm as I looked at it, covering itself with a gnarled hand. But not before I caught a glimpse of the face beyond, that of a teenager, little older than me, silver eyes set into grey skin.
It's Simon,
he replied. Then the hatch slammed shut, the lever turning, leaving me with nothing but the fleeting echo of the boy. Recovery. For what seemed an eternity, I stood in my cell staring into the infinite night, giving my body time to remember how to breathe. My heart was struggling as well, its rhythm frantic and forgetful, thumping too hard and too quick, and then missing a beat before trying to catch up. The tiny space felt like it was spinning, even though there was no way I could actually tell if anything was moving or not. I thought I could hear thunder in my ears until my clouded mind focused and I pictured Z next door. He was banging his grill furiously, waiting for a response. Touching the wall to push away my dizziness, I crouched and used my other hand to reach out, finding my own grill upended in one corner. I wasn't sure what to say, so I simply smashed it against the pipe three times.
There was silence from Z's cell, and I could picture him crashing back against the stone in relief. A few seconds later, he started hammering again, his long sentence giving me plenty of time to recover.
"I thought they'd taken you,"
beat the tuneless notes.
"They did,"
I answered, taking my time over every letter. Z was responding before I'd even finished.
"Where? Who?"
I tried to think of an answer, an explanation, but my mind drew a blank. Just so Z didn't think I'd gone AWOL again, I gave him a very brief summary of the last few minutes. They'd seemed like hours. The creature that had opened my cell, then the boy who had killed it and dragged me out. I told Z where we'd gone and what he'd said.
"Not alone?" Z responded. "Who are they?"
"I don't know," I replied. I truly didn't. From what I'd glimpsed of the kid, Simon, he looked like a monster. The way the skin of his arm had bulged, stitches encrusted with blood and dirt and threatening to tear loose, reminded me more than anything else of Monty, cut open and packed so tightly with something else's flesh that he looked like an overripe, fly-blown fruit about to burst. He had the same silver eyes too, those of a wolf caught prowling in the moonlight. But why hadn't Simon acted like a monster? Why had he ripped me from my cell and then given me hope, rather than smuggling me into the darkness and feeding from my squirming torso? He could have killed me in the time it took to open my mouth to scream, yet he hadn't. "It said it needed me," I went on, fragments of the conversation coming together in my head like a jigsaw puzzle. "To escape."
"Escape?" Z said, and I could sense his excitement by the eagerness of his taps. "You think there's a way?"
"Not a chance in hell," I thought. "I mean, we were cocooned in a cell the size of a coffin, miles of rock in every direction except one, and a big chunk of reinforced steel there to make up for it. Not only that, but we'd been pushed even deeper into the stinking bowels of furnace. Down here, there was no chance of salvation. Even if we made it out of solitary, if we found our way back into the labyrinth of tunnels and passageways that made up the guts of the prison, we still had them to contend with. The rats, with their eel-like mouths and endless rows of needle teeth, their infected claws, which looked like they could slice through skin as if it were tissue paper, their soulless voices screaming through wet throats as they started to feast. I banged out another sentence, if only to keep my mind busy. "How can there be?" I said, regretting it as soon as I had smacked out the last word. In the hole, keeping up our spirits was the most important thing we could do. Even though I could literally feel the weight of the world pressing down on my shoulders, I knew I should at least try to sound positive. "I'm not sure," I hammered out, contradicting myself. "Maybe there's a way. Gotta wait for the kid to come back. Next time there's a breach." C didn't reply, and I knew his blistered hand must have been as sore as mine. "Gonna get some sleep," I lied, just so he didn't worry if I was silent for a while. I wasn't sure how to sign off, so ended with, "Speak soon." I wasn't tired. There was enough adrenaline pumping around my system to keep me awake for weeks, but I needed time to think. What the hell was happening down here? If I could just figure it out in my head, then maybe I stood a chance of avoiding the same twisted fate as Simon and Monty and God only knew how many others. Staring off into pitch black, I thought about my old cellmate. And sure enough, after a couple of blinks, he strolled toward me, forming as he went.
"You're getting good at this," said the hallucination, taking a seat on an invisible chair on what should have been the other side of the wall.
I wished I was as insubstantial as my own conjuration, able to float up past the hatch, through a mile of rock, and keep on going, soaring into the calm blue sky until all the world was at my feet.
"You wish," he went on. "You couldn't get your fat ass off the ground, let alone drift up to the surface."
"Ha, ha,"
I replied dryly. You're in my head. You should be nice to me.
You obviously know me too well,
Donovan said, leaning forward and resting his elbows on his knees.
So what do you want anyway? I'm not sure I like it when you drag me down here.
Just someone to talk to, I guess, I replied, the sound of my voice alone in the cell making me feel foolish, even though I knew nobody could hear it. Someone to help try to make sense of what's going on. What happened to that kid Simon?
Sorry, kiddo. We share the same brain at the moment. What you know, I know.
You could at least pretend to help, I pleaded.
Fine, fine, he said,
cupping his head in his hands like someone deep in thought.
I think this is all some big reality television show being broadcast right now to the whole nation.
Gee, thanks, I said, smiling despite myself. Seriously, Dee, what is going on here? Those things, those creatures, they were human once, right?
Yeah, Donovan replied, staring at the floor.
His face was a mass of shimmering white, but his eyes seemed to be glistening even more than usual.
You'd better not be picturing me crying, Alex, or I'm going to pound you into the middle of next week.
This time I laughed, and he laughed with me for the fraction of a second it took our faces to fall again.
Yeah, they look human. Look like they were once, anyway. But they're not anymore, especially not the rats. They've had every last scrap of humanity torn out of them. They're animals now. Monsters, demons, whatever you want to call them.
Specimens, I said aloud. Donovan nodded.
I think you're right. It's got to be some kind of experiments. Some sort of genetic crap. Real nasty. Maybe they're trying to create super soldiers or something. Those black suits could kick some serious ass. You should try to find the real me. I'll know the answer.
Why would you know any more than me? I replied. We both know I'm the clever one. Donovan just snorted, peering up at me with eyes made from moonlight.
Because whatever happened to Simon, to those freaks, it's happening to me right now.
No, I said, a groan that lurched into a sob. I couldn't bear to picture him in the infirmary while everything recognizable was flayed from his body, everything good was sucked from his soul. I put my head down, staring at the abyss beneath my feet, and when I lifted it, Donovan had gone. No! I shouted after him. I won't let it happen. I'll come for you, Dee. I promised I would. Just hang on. I steeled myself, clamping down on the emotions, letting the logical thoughts creep through. If Simon and whoever else was out there needed me to help them escape, then I'd give them what they wanted. Somehow, I would get us out. But only if they led me to Donovan, and only if he was still alive. Come hell or high water, he was leaving with us. Just hang on, I repeated. It won't be long. And I was right. It wasn't long at all. The war. They came back while I slept. I heard them in my dreams again, the sound ripping me from nightmares of hanging limbs and plunging me back into the hole. It was only the faintest echo of a scream, but it left me wide awake, senses heightened, my heart pumping more adrenaline than blood. This time, it was excitement rather than fear that drove me to my feet. I was still terrified, don't get me wrong, but at least I had an idea of what lay on the other side of my cell door, and that gave me some control. Not much, admittedly, but enough to keep me standing, fists clenched at my side, instead of cowering in the corner praying for peace. I stood on my tiptoes, put my ear as close to the hatch as I could. For what seemed like hours, there was no sound except the rush of blood in my head, my pulse like the ocean crashing against the stony shore. Then I heard it again, a squeal, distant even through the solid metal. I was concentrating so hard on the sound that a sudden hammering from Z's cell scared me half to death.
Take me with you!
He tapped out patiently. I had my grill raised to tell him, okay, when the bar on my hatch squealed, metal grating against metal as it was unlocked. I shifted the heavy grill over my shoulder, ready to swing it up into the face of anything that wasn't Simon. But when the door lifted and I blinked away the burning light of the corridor, it was him I saw, silver eyes peering shamefully out at me from behind crooked fingers.
Quick, he said, his voice like that of an old man who'd smoked 100 cigarettes a day all his life. He offered me his other hand, the skin taut and smooth like ancient leather, crisscrossed by stitches.
Quick, he repeated, more urgently. I placed both my hands in his, and with no effort at all he hoisted me from my cell, then slammed the hatch shut. He started to run, heading toward the storeroom he'd taken me to before. I didn't follow immediately, skipping over my hatch to the one that sealed Z's cell. I had my hands on the bar, straining to open it, when I heard Simon whisper in my ear.
What are you doing?
Breath as warm as desert dust on the back of my neck.
There's no time.
He's coming with us, I said, my weakened arms unable to swing the lever more than a hair's breadth. Help me get this open. I heard the beginnings of a protest swell up in the kid's throat, but he swallowed hard, then barged me out of the way, sending the bar crashing around with a single sweep of his oversized arm. He wrenched open the hatch, revealing a pair of eyes in the darkness so wide and so white that they seemed to be glowing.
Alex?
Came Z's voice, a flutter no louder than a bird's wings. He didn't have time to say anything else before Simon plunged his hand into the shadows and pulled him out, dropping him on the floor. Simon kicked the hatch shut and locked it, then started sprinting again.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
I could hear his voice with every thunderous footstep as he swung around the corner into the smaller corridor. I grabbed Z's hand and followed, ignoring his cries of confusion until we ducked through the opening in the wall and stumbled blindly into the storeroom. There was a moment of panic when I couldn't see Simon, but then I spotted the twin moons of his eyes blinking at us from a far corner.
"What's going on?" whispered Z. "Is that him? That kid?"
I didn't answer, concentrating on avoiding the shelves and boxes that were nothing more than shadows against shadows in front of me. I heard the scratch of matches ahead and was bathed in a warm amber glow.
"Hurry," said Simon, holding the match as far from himself as he could.
He squinted at the light through the fingers of his other hand, as though he were afraid of it, and after a couple of seconds tossed the flame to the floor. We trod carefully around a metal shelf and sat beside Simon, the match flaring up in an arc of deep orange, like a dying breath, before it was overrun by the darkness.
"That was stupid,"
his voice snaked up from nowhere.
"Every time I come for you, I risk my life. Black suits are everywhere. They'll shoot me on sight."
"Sorry," I said, "but Z and I work together. We're a team. You want me to help, then you're gonna want him too."
"Help?" said Z. "You mean escape?"
Simon's silver eyes bobbed up and down as he nodded. I looked over my shoulder at the storeroom door, the corridor deserted and silent beyond.
"Where is everyone?" I asked.
"The black suits."
"Breach took place on the other side again, the north door.